Hey everybody, welcome back to our collaboration week's big idea. We are going to talk about widening that lens, making sure that you see beyond just your classroom. Maybe it's inside of where the students are coming from, where they're going to next. Maybe it's interdisciplinary. Maybe it's actually collaborating with your admin as well and getting everybody involved. And then we are going to continue to talk about the yes and the improvisation of rolling with it. So let's get to the big idea.
Let's do it. All right, he's coming to you live from Bowling Green, where he is now live with his students. Good for Tim and his kiddos. With all of that energy from his Golden Retrievers. He's got 7 years teaching math, 3 years working with Challenge Day, tutoring one-on-one all the time at Peak State Mathematics, for those of you that need some help with math. My best friend and an awesome teacher, T-Free.
Ayo. And he's coming to you from Portland, Oregon, West Coast, PNW. 11 years of teaching social studies at the middle school and high school levels. He's still virtual at the moment, starting the second half of a brand new year. Why not have another first day of school, right? And, you know, 20 years of coaching, whistle around his neck, multiple sports. My best bud, K-Dub.
Whoop, whoop. Well, thank you for listening to Little Things Are Big Things Education. It's great to have you all back. We are hosted by Peak State Mathematics, as I mentioned a moment ago. Do not forget to rate and review us. We would love to hear from you at littlebiged.com. Please give us the 5 stars. We are here for the grade inflation, at least in this particular format. T-Free, what's first today?
All right, we're kickstarting here into our big idea with Collaboration Week. We're going to get started with the yes and concept. So I think one of the big things with collaborating with my co-teachers, at least, is when a new idea gets brought that maybe is challenging my normal way of working or something that I might have reservation for, if I shut it down immediately with a but, like, it's game over, you know, and I think it's very aggressive, and I didn't realize it at first. And I think it is abrasive, and it causes a lot of that tension with my co-teachers and my collaborating teachers that also do geometry, but especially inside of my ESL groups with my like other actual co-teachers. And they bring me a lot of great ideas. It just sometimes it pushes me outside of maybe my comfort zone or something. Yeah. So starting with the, okay, yes, and we got to make sure this happens, or yes, and I love that. How is that going to impact this? And so coming in with the yes and like acknowledgement, like no, like letting them know, like, I've heard it, I've seen it, and here might be somewhere where I'm curious how that plays for you. I've also learned with that yes, and instead of a yes, and I think you're wrong, it's a yes, and ask a question, right? Yeah. And let them answer maybe the question I have instead of telling them why it's not going to work because I don't know the answer. So instead, just yes, and what about this? Like, have you thought about this? So,
well, and that's a really great way to like think about like the very specific, like the actual work of collaborating either with a co-teacher, interdisciplinary subject, another geometry teacher or subject alike situation. The other place where I really think of the yes, and is like the meta, because I often run into teachers, you know, we talked in the connection activity about people not wanting to do meetings, right? Like, meetings are terrible. I don't want to be in a PLC because that's just another meeting. You know, and like, we all have pretty strong opinions, or at least every teacher I've met so far has pretty strong opinions about the way that certain things should be taught. Mm-hmm. And it is a lot harder and takes more time to do that in a group, right? Whether it's a group of two or a group of 12 or a group of 400 million people trying to figure out how to run a country together, like, all of that is harder and more complicated the more people that you're going to add into the mix. I also think that it's always way more valuable, because I know what, like, my own kind of methodology of coming into a meeting is I always have a lot of ideas about how we should do something, whether it's like, how should the department work, or how should this specific unit be taught, or what should the order of this specific lesson within a unit. Like, I've always got ideas about how those things should go. And I usually feel like they're pretty good ideas. It's pretty rare that I come up with an idea to a meeting and think that it's a bad idea. I mean, I've got, Yeah, at that point, I'm asking for help, and I will come to meetings and ask for help for sure. But what happens when you come to the meeting and somebody else also has a great idea and you start trying to figure out which one is better, or if there's a way to combine those two ideas or those four ideas into one thing? My experience has been almost every single time, I try not to speak in absolutes, but like almost every single time, what we end up with is better than what I came up with by myself. Mm-hmm. It may have taken longer. I may have gotten frustrated that something that I felt really passionate about got left on the chopping block. But ultimately, especially after you've done the lesson with students or you've done the work with students, I can look back and go like, man, that was way better because we had these other elements involved that wouldn't have been there if I hadn't talked to Lisa or if I hadn't talked to Frank about what we were doing.
Right. And I feel like that is honestly one of the ultimate goals of collaboration, right? Is like to truly become greater than the sum of our parts, right? And so when we can share those ideas and openly collaborate and work together to create those better ideas and solutions, like that's awesome. The other thing with the yes and that I always think of, and I think this is just a great teaching tool in general, and collaboration for sure when you're in front of students. Like the whole idea of like yes and is like a fundamental principle underneath improv, right? And like no matter what the other person says or does, you can't contradict them. You got to flow with them. And so it's the yes and idea. And so I mean, I was in the middle of my observation a couple of weeks ago, and my assistant principal, who's my observing principal, was an old math teacher. And she jumps up and she was like, oh, like, and she got excited and she jumped on the board. And like, I knew where I was going, and I'm in the middle of an observation and she jumps up and takes over. And I'm like, yes, and all right. You know, and like, I pull right with it. And the students are funny because they're like, oh, like you just had the principal stand up. I'm like, yes, and listen, like, check out what she's got. Okay, cool. Now, what else can we pull from that? You know, and like we start going back and forth, and then like Morgan, my co-teacher, jumps in. And so like the three of us are almost like seamlessly rolling around. Mm-hmm. And I think in front of the students, it reminds them in a modeling way, right, that we are all part of the learning process, and it doesn't make anybody wrong, and it definitely unites us. And like, I'm 100% confident in letting Morgan take over in the middle of my lesson. And like, it's not a weird thing because we are in that improv piece where we roll with each other and that yes and idea.
Absolutely. And I feel like that's a really good segue. One of the things that we said we wanted to talk about as it related to collaboration is there's multiple ways of collaborating in multiple types of groups that you can be collaborating with. And one of them, let's be honest, whether we want to or not, right? Like there's a, like we have to collaborate with our admin in some way, shape or form. It sounds like from a couple of stories that you've told on the podcast so far over the last few weeks that you have a pretty great relationship with your VP for sure. I can't remember if you've talked about your principal, but I feel like you've brought up this VP who would jump up out of her seat to get involved in a math lesson. What are some of the things that you feel like have made collaborating with her powerful or positive?
One, I think she's 100% the yes and human, right? Mm-hmm. And so anytime we have our post-observation conversations, it's not why did you do this? It's a wait, explain what you were thinking there, because I think this could be even better, you know. And I think it's this yes and combination with the growth mindset that we've spoken to, and it leads opportunity for my creativity. And I think she knows that I'm like this crazy ball of fire and I love creative solutions and stuff. And she lets me run with it. And like, you know, she dances in the hallway and stuff with my music and all that kind of stuff. Like she goes full out. And so I think we have like a little bit of a common personality tread, which creates that natural connection. And like, I know that she is student focused. I think that's the other big piece. Right. And so, I know for me, this is true. And I feel like it's true for you too. Like we know the other teachers in the building that are 100% student focused. And I think it's easier for me to connect with those types of teachers in a collaborative because we're just pumped about the students. And she's definitely one of those on the admin level.
Okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I think one of the things that you spoke to there, and I've been in 4 buildings, 5 buildings, in my 11 years, right? The school I'm at now, this is my 4th year and it's the longest I've been somewhere, I think. Or no, I guess it's tied for Canyon Park. But anyways, like one thing that I noticed as a real difference is like also like we keep talking about how much words matter in the last few episodes. And like that idea of like, why didn't you versus like, I wonder what it would have been like. I wonder what it would have looked like if you'd done this. And so that really helped me with administrators. If any of you are listening to this podcast, I would highly encourage you to like adopt this I wonder language, because when I get the I wonder language from the principals I've had in the past where I felt like there was a good rapport, it felt like we were just talking about how the unit or how the lesson went and trying to figure out like, okay, if you were going to do this again, what could we do to make it more engaging, or what could we do to make sure that those English language learners were being more scaffolded in the lesson, or whatever the thing is that we want to talk about. And it feels less like a judgment and something I need to be defensive about, and much more a place where we're just thinking about how things can go. And the other thing that I think helps that is that in particular, shout out to Sebastian Ziz, wherever he's at now, used to be the principal at Canyon Park. He was really good on the front end of the observation of asking a lot of those I wonder questions in advance, so that you could think about bringing some of those elements into the lesson before the actual observation took place. And then have kind of a conversation about like, okay, how did you like, why, like what was the thought process behind incorporating that here, or like whatever the thing was. And so that really helped make it feel like a collaboration in advance as well. Right. So then you felt even less judged in the conversation. Then you were really just like watching the film essentially, to use another football analogy of like, how did it go? That's like, let's play it back and look at how it went. So for those who are administrators out there wondering, I think, that the language that you use and the way that you approach those can either put a teacher automatically on the defensive, which is something that I know I struggle with, and then also make you feel like you're being valued and that it's just a conversation.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's super important. And I think that's true too, just inside of the department, right? Because like there's that natural almost hierarchy inside of the department, because you got like head, you've got like in ours, there's three of us that primarily teach geometry, and like I look to one of them as kind of the go-to, right? And so I think we as the trio in our group are very good about just sharing information and doing some of that collaboration, but I've been in situations where it almost feels like I'm being talked down to like, this is how you have to do this. Or like, why would you ever consider doing that? You know? And it's like, so like it squashes my creativity, which obviously I don't react well to, but so yeah, I think that's super valuable. And I've even seen that work well kind of across disciplines, right? Like the math department versus the social studies department versus the science department. Right. And like, when we kind of drop those guards a little bit and we like, oh no, like I'm pumped because I'm going to talk about, you know, I was building a project today for volumes and surface areas and things like that. And I was starting to do some airplane research because I'm going to make my kids like do an airport project, and, you know, they're going to have to do concrete and pour in an asphalt, and we're doing jet blast deflectors and all this stuff. And I was like, dude, like how much cool physics could I put into this? You know, like, can I have them do like a little bit of like a history thing? And can I have them do a like reflection on like, you know, why is this important, or is this the best solution to creating this? And then like put it all into a business sense. So now we have like the business entrepreneur class kind of maybe into it, and like doing that interdisciplinary and like asking for support and reaching out and maybe even like swapping classes for a day, like, you know, like getting really creative with it, pushing some of the boundaries. But I think the more we do the yes and, the more we are student focused, the more we are open-minded, and the wonder if or wonder why approach is just so helpful in so many places.
Yeah. And I think like to your point about the interdisciplinary stuff, and like, I loved how you were able to make a connection for one thing you were doing in your geometry class to like four other subject areas. Cause I think that interdisciplinary, I don't want to spend too much time on it because I haven't spent as much time with the data as other members of this team that I'm on. But like, we know that interdisciplinary work is better from an equity standpoint for teaching. And we know that in our lives, we have to have multiple skill sets. And so like operating in the silo, it's like I go to this space where I do these kinds of this kind of work in this kind of atmosphere. And then I go to this other space where I do this kind of work and I learn about these kinds of things, and never shall the two cross paths is like, it's not very realistic. And more importantly, it's not the best way to learn. We know that from multiple studies. And I was really lucky, the school that I'm at now, in particular, the first 2 years, I was teaching at the sophomore grade level. I was teaching US history, and I was paired with an English teacher who had the exact same set of students. And for the most part, they went from my class to her class. And so we basically changed our class. The two of us got together and we had a common prep. So we had some structures in place to allow us to do this. She was willing to work during the summer, which also helped, because as a football coach, right, like being able to have some time to get things done in advance. But we turned our classes into what we called an American Studies class. And we both had to kind of make some choices around, okay, well, she really needs to teach this thing. Where's an appropriate place in the curriculum of U.S. history to connect? And we did, everything we did was not only interdisciplinary, but project-based, and everything was connected. And most of our students really liked that and really succeeded and thrived in that era. And even in this remote sense, the English teacher that I work with now, that I'm partnered with, like when we were doing our unit on Africa and its relationship with Europe, her students were reading, or our students, some of whom we're sharing at the same time, were reading Things Fall Apart by Chinua Achebe, which is, you know, a story about an African family. So like having that opportunity to just see things from multiple perspectives is so valuable. And I think it really helps the kids a lot.
And it's such a good tool right later in life, right? Like to be a team player, to be able to figure out what's happening at this level, connect it with what you're doing, and then where is it going, right? Mm-hmm. And like I have tried to get much better at understanding, you know, like for me, right, is math, obviously teaching geometry only the last 2 years, like I could easily get stuck in my silo, right? I'm like, this is what I need to be good at. This is all that matters. I'm going to make my kids know this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, wait, no. I should probably know what they got taught last year in Algebra 1 to, one, you know, remind them they've seen it before. Two, try to ask and collaborate with that teacher how they presented the material so I'm consistent with it. Mm-hmm. And then two, like, where am I going with it so that when I pass these students up to Algebra 2, for the most part, that I'm teaching and prepping it a way that they like, and that it's going to be, again, common language across the entire department. And, you know, I think when you and I have described this before in football, right? Like we talk about like that widen your lens idea, like see beyond instead of being stuck in our little silo. So,
well, I think that's really important from a teacher standpoint, because I think a trap that we can all fall into, I know I'm guilty of it, is that, you know, sometimes we forget that things are happening outside of our classroom, which, right, it impacts our kids in a very real way from just like a practical standpoint of like, yo, I've got an AP test next week and you just assigned a 5-page paper. Like, you, like, now my life, and by the way, we're playing in the state finals for women's basketball. Like, I got a lot on my plate right now, and like being able to either know that in advance and know, like, just be aware, okay, it's AP testing week. I'm not going to have any major stuff due because I know like 60% of my students are also taking an AP class of one form or another. Or, you know, when like, we don't do it at the school that I'm at now, but my old school in Washington, right, standardized testing, right, it's not the WASL anymore. I can't remember what they changed the name of it to, but like that was a whole week, right? And like we made a choice as a social studies department and really as a school over time to just like lower the temperature in all of our other classes so that kids who were sitting in front of a computer screen taking a standardized test for 3 hours a day didn't have to worry about other stuff at that same time. And not that we should always be removing barriers for our students, but I do also think it's like important to be reasonable in what we're asking our students to do, and or just acknowledging the wider world that they're existing in. So I think that's really important that you brought that up.
Right. And you bring up a really good point too about like try not to overwhelm our students and being aware. And I mean, we've talked about this multiple times, right? Being aware of beyond the classroom, right? And building these connections and how that's so important universally. I am a little bit curious how and if do you share some of that information, because, you know, you and I like to specialize in this, and I think mm-hmm. we, in our buildings, probably are in the upper 10%, you know, of being able to make connections with kids, and we probably know more about them than some of the other ones do. Mm-hmm. How do you like to bring that into your collaboration? Do you bring it into your collaboration? What do you share? What do you not? How do you kind of determine that?
Great question. I'm going to answer it in two parts, so feel free to interrupt me if I'm talking for too long at once. But so the first part is, I'm really lucky. While I lost the ability to have that teacher relationship with that social studies or with that English teacher because of the schedule that we had, what shifted was I'm now teaching ninth grade instead of 10th grade. And we have for 2 years now, maybe even three, but 2 years for me, have had these things called ninth grade communities, where the physics teacher, the English teacher, and the social studies teacher all share the same group of students. And depending on caseloads, right, like our particular group this year, we all are teaching five sections of ninth grade. So we have whatever 72 plus 48 is, we have like 150 students that we're all sharing, right? And so, and then we, depending, I mean, weird things with remote, but we have a shared prep time where we have a scheduled time at least once a week. And last year it was twice a week, where actually they came to my room and we would meet for an hour and a half to talk about our caseload. And the interdisciplinary work was actually not about teaching from the sense of like content, but teaching in the sense of the students, which was really cool and a really unique experience to be a part of. And doing it now for a second year has been really awesome. And so in those situations, because that's kind of the idea behind the process, and you know, the kids know that they share all of us, if it's, I would say like 80% of things, I'll just share, right? Like, so like if I know that it's Johnny's birthday, maybe somebody else missed it, I'll just remind everybody else, like, hey, so-and-so's got a birthday this week or whatever. But it actually came up last week where I had a student who had shared that that they were dealing with some depression issues, right? It was a follow-up from a social emotional check-in that I do via email, and then I followed up, and the student was brave enough to share what they were dealing with. And you know, I sent them an email that talked about, like, first of all, it's okay to not be okay. Are you getting any help? Do you feel like you need help getting resources? Have you talked to your counselor? And then finally, are you okay if I share this out with the rest of our community teachers? And the student have a very nuanced answer, like, no, I'm not really doing anything official for it yet, but my parents know that there's something going on and we're trying to figure it out together. I have not talked to my counselor about it yet. If you want to tell my counselor, I'm okay with that. But I don't really want this to be something that's shared with my other teachers yet. And so that's what I did, right? I told the counselor, but I have not shared that with the other teachers in that group, because it was something that was asked not to be shared. If they wanted it to be shared, I would share it. And then we've talked about this a number of times, but from a CYA standpoint, right, if it was something that was like a mandatory report situation, now I'm going to tell, like, definitely going to tell the counselor, going to tell the other teachers that something is going on for that student. I might not share specific details, or I probably wouldn't share specific details, because in my experience, when it's something that requires a mandatory report, you've entered into some really difficult situations that maybe a kid doesn't want to like become popular knowledge. Right. So like just letting them know that's going on. And then obviously telling the kid like, hey, you just said something that's going to require me to let some people know what's going on. Right. So it kind of depends on the situation, but I've been really lucky this year and last year where like that has literally been part of my job, is to share out that.
And I love that you did speak to like most of that is able to be shared because you have very clear, transparent, vulnerable conversations with your students. And it started mm-hmm. with that relationship you already built. And they know that you're going to respect and honor their wishes, and that mm-hmm. you're looking out for them, and that you got their best intention.
Yeah. And I mean, I think from like the setting, the tone for that, right? Like trust is something that has to be built. It's one of the things I say to my students and my players all the time. I'm a little bit different in the sense that I'm going to grant you the trust, like the unconditional trust up front. And then if you break it, it's really hard for you to regain it. But most people don't operate like that, right? Like most people, like trust is developed over time, and a little mistake can really set you pretty far back. So I try to be really cautious with the things that I share out about. But a lot of times it's something as simple as like, hey, like Jenna's really excited that she made the soccer team.
Right. Right.
Right. And just like letting another teacher know that, hey, if you celebrate this, that would be really helpful. Or, hey, I had this other thing happen. A student basically told me, like, I don't work hard in classes where I don't feel connected to the teacher outside of the content. I happen to know from other things that he's told me, he loves photography and he loves the NBA. So I just told his teachers, hey, if you're into one of those two things, make sure you check in with him about those two things outside of school. Cause if you don't, he's not going to do anything for you. Right. And so like to me, like when a kid says something like that to me, whether they mean it or not, they're really saying like, hey, I need this information to be passed along.
Right. Right. They got that giant sign of like, please help. Like, I don't know what to do, but you got me, I hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I like that. One of the things I always think of too, like when we talk about this idea of like sharing or people who have shared to me about previous students, I'm like, can you not tell me that they never turned their homework in and that they were a clown in your class all the time and that they're disrespectful? And when I share with you back that like they've been working hard for me, you don't just like gasp like, oh, they would have never done that for me. It's like, I don't know. Maybe that's one of my pet peeves, but like I know for myself, I am a different human being today than I am a year ago, than I was 5 years ago. And yeah. I am 100% going to grant that access to my students who are in the prime of developing and figuring out their identities and all their stuff. And like, yeah, they might have had a really rough freshman year and they might have been one of your worst students, but they could have had something that like kicked them into gear, or they just decided, you know, that's not me anymore. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to know that and accidentally hold that prejudice against them and expect mm-hmm. them to behave that way, because I'm going to manifest that if I show up in a way that says, oh yeah, you just don't work hard. And they're like, no, but I do work hard. And like, I'm just like, oh, you actually turned your work in. Yeah. And like that, like offhand comment is just like
super condescending. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, no, like, I don't know. I love the idea of sharing to celebrate, sharing to cause like better connections and mm-hmm. and doing that. But like, I want students to have that opportunity to rewrite their story.
Well, and I think one of the things, I kind of cut you off there, so we'll come back to that idea of sharing the story. But I think one of the things that's important in what you're talking about for the group that I'm working with is that, I mean, first of all, they're ninth graders, so we don't get like a report back from their eighth grade teachers about, you know, Johnny's a little knucklehead and, you know, Susie's a sweet little, you know, try hard or whatever. So like, we don't have that information. So we really are coming into the thing blind for the most part. But we, every once in a while, we have to make sure that we don't fall into the trap of, oh, I had his older sister or whatever. But like I guess I touched another nerve there. So we'll let you finish both of those things. But so just like real quick, one of the things that's a really great norm about how we approach things in our ninth grade communities is when we have a student who is showing up for us in a way that is not being successful in our classroom, we're going to say like, hey, I am struggling to connect with, or I'm struggling to motivate, or whatever the terminology that, you know, we don't always use the perfect words, but, you know, I'm struggling with student X. Is anybody else having a different experience with this student? And it starts with that little group of the three of us. And then if we're all having the same experience, right, we're going to go back and check the data, look at who their other teachers are and find out like, man, are all eight of us having a problem? Because if all eight of us are having a problem, that probably says that there's something that's going on outside of our locus of control that we need to be aware of so that we can show up and be more supportive for this particular student. So like having that conversation start from a place where it's, I'm the one that's responsible for reaching the student is really helpful. And I think we talked about this last week, like that idea of seeing a kid at different times throughout the day. Sometimes it's as simple as, well, I have Mark after lunch and he's fine after lunch. Mm-hmm. Well, he just sleeps through first period. Well, maybe he doesn't eat at home. Mm-hmm. Or maybe he just stays up too late. We need to have a conversation about like having a better schedule for ourselves and whatever that conversation is. But like, I think starting from that place of like, as a teacher being vulnerable and recognizing that maybe it's something that I'm not doing, or there's something that I could do different to help reach this student that somebody else is doing. Cause I honestly, like you mentioned the teacher who was like, oh, I can't believe you got that student to work. Like, I can't imagine it. Admitting that to another teacher, like, oh, that student would never work for me. Like,
right. Well, some of that too, I think, comes back to our idea of like having space to vent and getting things off. Maybe there was so much frustration in the past that they're like, I'm still like frustrated that I couldn't connect. Yeah. But that's never how they actually present it, right? just having that awareness of like students have the ability to change.
Yeah.
Just like we all do. And I am going to touch real quick on the sibling part. I didn't have to experience it because my older brother went to a different high school. And honestly, even like you as one of my closest friends didn't even know I had an older brother for the most part.
He was kind of a stranger, yes.
Right. You're like, wait, who's that other dude in your house? Yeah, and we were 5 years apart. And so all those things. But my younger brother was only two and a half years apart. And we've had conversations recently that has brought light to this, that like every teacher knew him before they knew him. Mm-hmm. And so he was already like expected to behave a certain way. And when he didn't meet that expectation, there was a lot of like awkwardness and like, why can't you be like Tim? Or why are you doing this? Or wait, you're not good at math. You don't like, what's wrong? You know, and like, or like football, right? Like we both played football. We're both big people. Like the expectation was you need to be like him. And like, I know that showed up in a lot of ways that manifested in like negative behaviors and almost like resentments and like wanting to revolt almost, right? Like, I'll show you I'm not that person, you know?
Yeah.
And I've had enough siblings that I've taught, and I've been very conscious to not do that, where I've gotten either positive feedback through like, you were like the first teacher that didn't expect me to be like my sister, or you were the first one that didn't like pretend I had to show up a certain way, you know? And like everybody's such unique characters, and just honoring and respecting that uniqueness and the opportunity to grow.
Yeah, and that kind of connects to, I know I cut you off. You were talking about letting students write their own stories. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that idea?
But just, I mean, I just think that we're always growing, right? Like we had a whole episode about growth mindset. And if we don't truly believe that we're constantly growing, then it would make sense that you could judge them on what they did last year. But I believe as educators, our goal is to create lifelong learners, and we should always be learning. We should always be developing. Mm-hmm. And even if we're spiraling and spinning and crashing and moving forwards, like there has to be that opportunity to be something more and not constantly being shocked that you're not this old version of you.
Yeah.
So,
and that can go the other way too, right? Like sometimes a student, like I know we have a student that we're trying to figure out right now who started off first quarter in the first half of second quarter was a rock star. And then like second week, third week of January kind of fell off a cliff in terms of engagement and quality of work. And then whole new set of teachers at the turn of the semester and trying to figure out what's going on there and trying to get that student back motivated and back on top of things. And things are starting slowly coming around, but also just trying to figure out like what happened, what do we do, like, and understanding that like they're changing, right? That like it's not eighth grade, so they're not like completely falling apart and coming back together and falling apart and coming back together 12 times in a year, but more in a day, but there is still a lot of change over the course of 4 years in high school that we have to be aware of. And then the one other thing that I wanted to acknowledge as it relates to talking about students and sharing their stories with other teachers, I think one thing that I am really trying to get better at, because I definitely was not good at this up until I'll give myself a little bit of credit and say 2 years ago. If I wasn't giving myself any credit, maybe 6 weeks ago, I still, you know, growth is not consistent, but, remembering that like my class works for a certain type of student, right? Like my class is a little bit less structure. The number one thing that shows up in my classroom is connection. Other students might do better in a class that has more structure, is more content driven, is more lecture driven versus more interactive group work driven, right? Like different students are going to feel they have different strengths, just like different teachers do. And I think when you're collaborating, whether you're sharing out about students or when you're trying to work with another teacher who's teaching the same material as you, you have to both give each other the freedom and the acknowledgement that like both of what you're doing is working for a group of students, and where you can share so that what's working in my classroom can support some extra students in your classroom and vice versa. And then just understand like you have to be your authentic self in your classroom, and anybody who pushes back against that is wrong. And the only time that they're not wrong is like if you're actively harming students, then like at some point like you need to get out of the profession. But like otherwise, if both of us are serving student needs in different ways, like acknowledging that and moving forward in a collaborative way that still allows for our strengths to shine through in our own classroom, I think that is something that we all have to really focus on, because we don't want to lose ourselves in the collaboration either.
Right, right.
All right, quick interruption to remind you to use the Teacher Vault. Feel free to access that on littlebiged.com and access all of the resources that are available to you there. We have recently added a video where we return to the idea of the privilege walk that we discussed last week, and that has the video and some reflection questions that we recommend for connecting with your students as it relates to that video.
I think that's going to roll perfect actually into the story I wanted to share to close us out here today. I mean, it's so much, and we talked about this in the connection activity too. Like it's so important for us to honor and respect and acknowledge the things that our fellow teachers are doing well. And that just is this natural bridge to connect. And when you connect, the collaboration becomes stronger because you build that trust and you know that they're looking out for each other. They're looking out for you. They're looking out for their students. Like the more we can have those conversations about how you love things they're doing, the more likely I've experienced that they're willing to share with me so that I can soak up, you know, all their golden nuggets. I think where some of those teachers start to like, oh, this is mine, you can't have it, you know, is when they feel like their thing that has always worked gets criticized or attacked. And they're like, no, this is mine. You can't see it. You can't hear it. And it works. Get out of my bubble, you know? And so I'm really blessed this year and last year that, and especially this year, because we're in our new building and it's designed for collaboration. But me and my other two geometry teachers, we very much so communicate almost on a daily basis. I see one of my teachers after school every single day. I will swing by. I'm like, hey, how'd it go today? What worked? What didn't work? Where are you at? Okay, perfect. This is what I've been doing. Cool. You know, and her kids are in the room too. And so I connect with her, like her actual like daughters. And so, you know, I connect with them for a quick bit, and then that helps me with my connection with her, you know, because it's beyond the classroom. And then our other one, we have the same planning period. And so we're both in the common teacher workstation space now. And like we, even in the last month, have gotten closer because we actually are having more communication in that situation, rather than kind of splitting into our own little, you know, classroom, shutting the door and doing our thing and plowing forward. And so that's been really nice. The other thing that's been helpful, especially in our virtual learning, is we do have a shared Google Classroom for just the geometry team. And this is beyond just the three of us. This also includes our freshman teacher that teaches the honors geometry and even some of the eighth grade students. It's got our intervention teacher in on it. It's got our principal in on it that I've talked about multiple times. And so it's just this really great space where we can all share our lessons and we can pick and pull from each other. So maybe, you know, in our own life, things have been a little bit chaotic and we were like, oh gosh, I needed something else for this. I wonder if, you know, Satterley had built something, or I wonder if Carrico's got this. And so I can jump in there and be like, oh, cool. And then, you know, we add little notes and things like that. And so it's just like this great community pile to pull information from. And we don't make each other wrong, and we don't like try to blast like, oh, this is the greatest tool ever, you better use it. It's like, no, here's something if you need it. If you don't, you know, like I'm already using it, but I'm just going to throw it in there for you. So run with it. And it's been super helpful, especially around tech, because, you know, I'm very much the tech person in our department. And so early in the year, a lot of that stuff I shared helped teachers that were very resistant or nervous or, you know, terrified borderline. I have to do everything online now. And so, I don't know, that's just been really helpful. And I've really enjoyed having the connection every single day after school or every day during planning, and just really focused on less the content. Yeah, we check to make sure we're kind of in the right spot, but checking in on each other and checking in on, you know, Carico and her two girls, you know, and like high five and like, you know, long social distance. Oh, by the way, I'm going to throw this one in there real quick. If you don't know how to socially distance high five properly, this is how you do it. You high five upwards and you go whoopsh. And then you can do it with a group. You can do it with an individual. So just whoopsh. Okay. So, super fun. Take it, use it, share it. But yeah, so that's kind of my story with collaboration. I've loved having it. I think my first few years teaching, I was very focused on the students and I forgot about collaboration and my fellow teachers. And so I think that's a space I've improved on. And this particular year and some of those things I just shared is a big reason why.
That's really awesome, man. I'm really happy that you've been able to find some new connections and are finding a way to use these weird circumstances to make things better and not wallow in the other stuff. So that's really cool.
Right. Awesome. Well, we appreciate you all hanging out with us as always. Please check out the free resources we've got for you. We're going to continue to put tools and stuff in there for you. And if you've got some of your own stories on how you collaborate, please share that information with us. Hit us up on Facebook, post it underneath our YouTube, add comments, all that kind of stuff. So thanks for being a part of it and always learn to peak state.
Take it a great day.